y'all hear a little noise up here, it's just my fan going. That's all. Can everybody see this? Well, after it comes on. Oh, my lens is going to do it again. I bet I start talking first then. All right, so what this is, what I've got here for you is a little slideshow on the missionaries I talked about that we were going to be praying about. And I wanted to give you our next missionary. January the 8th, we were not here. It's Lazaro Garmadi and Marisol Romero, and they are Baptist church planters, and they're in Las Vegas, Nevada. Also, we have Adam and Aaron Bishop. They're in Jackson Heights. That is in Rego Park, New York, basically out of New York, New York. There's over 22 million people that live in New York. 44.7 are unaffiliated with any religious body. And 4% are affiliated with an evangelical church. I messed that one all up. And Southern Baptist churches, there's one Southern Baptist church for every 70,000 New York City residents. So even if you think about that, that's a lot of churches still. There, but they are church planters. They are in the New York area. As we talked about our Annie Armstrong, that will be for local people. Well, it's just deciding it ain't going to do it, so that's all right. I will move on. But I thought I had tricked it, and all I had to do was cut the TV on, but that didn't seem to work there. Sorry about that. So on the little slideshow I had there, if you saw what the title of the message was going to be about today, that was going to be Success as a Christian. So we say success as a Christian. What does that mean, Sammy? What are you trying to say? Well, stay awake with me and I'll tell you what that'll be like, okay? As we discussed last week, we talked about starting a new you. We talked about being that new person in the new year. We talked about being that person that we could live like Christ, that we could do better. So as we think about that new year again, what does that mean for you? What does that mean for you? What changes have you made so far? Have you made any changes? What promises to God have you made to the new year? Some things that you wanted to do. One of the things I did is that I started in Southeastern Seminary up in Wake Forest. The conference paid for, or the Wilmington Baptist Association paid for, or had a free pass for me to take some classes there. So I am doing that. And I'm on my first class so far. It's on hermeneutics, and it's a very good class. I'm almost done with that class, and you move on. You have so much stuff you have to do for each listed week, it shows. But that's one of the things I've done this year. So, and that's going to make me better. Make me better as a pastor, as a person. There's a lot of things in there. It teaches me more about how to really dive into the Bible, how to understand the Bible, what is written. It helps me to understand that, just many different things. And Danny Aiken is the teacher of that, which is the president up there at Southeastern Seminary. That's a Baptist seminary up there. So now I want to talk to you about success. Again, talking about the new year, we talk about success, and most anything we do, we want to be successful at it. Amen? We don't just go into it to not have a success for it or out of it or whatever, no matter what we do. it's not always about the pay. It's about the rewards that you get sometimes. It's not always about the dollar figure, you know. We want to think about that. We want to go out and do a good job. We want to help people. We want to bless people. But at the same time, we want to be rewarded. We want to have those things to be thankful for. But how do we go out and how do we achieve the highest results possible? How do we go out and know that we've done everything that we can do? How do we know that we have done a successful job? Well, we know when we go out and when we do something, if we're relying on God, then we have faith that our business is going to do what its intended purpose was. Whatever your intended purpose was when you started that business, that's what it's going to do. Along that way, you have times that you can help people. You have times that you can go out and be a minister to someone. You have times that you can go out and be that light that where God is shining through you. You can be that light and help other people, allow other people to see that light coming out in you. The question is, and no matter what we do, it doesn't mean that you particularly own a business. It could mean that, just our work, we're all work people or have worked. We might be retired now, whatever, but we've all done things for somebody. We all want to go out. We want to do a good job. People don't go to work every day and say, well, I'm just going to mess up today because I don't want to be here. Well, you know, I think that the intention of everybody is to come to work and do their job. Amen. Some of them do better than others, I will say. Now we know in all of our workplace that success could be down by attitude. Success could be down by the way we approach something. It's not that you don't have a good job. It's not that this job is not good for you or that whatever, but we come into it with a negative approach. There's many ways that we can see about this. Well, this week I've been challenged at my job, you know, to get this message that something big is going to happen in your company, that they've had this secret meeting and then they can't tell anybody. I'm telling you what, it's about to tear us up inside. We've all talked about it. They tell us as managers not to go in and talk to our associates and lead them on, if you will. But you know what? I got a family just like they got a family.
That's right.
And although my job is to down talk it, when reality is that I just got to speak the truth. We talk about what if, and I say, well, listen. I said, God's got this under control.
Amen.
I said, if it means you're not working for Lowe's next week, don't worry. Because he has a plan for you.
Amen.
He's gonna know, he knows what you're doing. He knows what's going to happen. He's not going to leave you out there stranded. He's going to take care of you.
That's right.
So we have to be faithful in whatever we do. Our success comes from many different things. If you would, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3. And we're going to look at 27 through 31. We're going to talk a little bit about John. We're going to talk about John here today, how he, although was a great pastor, if you will, or a great evangelist, or a great person to proclaim the word, that he give his emphasis to God. That he didn't want to be put up on a pedestal because he knew that God was in control. That God was the one that he still needed to give all of his glory. Verse 27 says, and if you have in your Bible, please stand with me as we read God's word. Sorry. Verse 27 said, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for this message today, the message of success, and we'll see how John looks at success and how many people view success. But we know success comes through you, God.
That's right.
And only you. Yes. Lord, we just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So John the Baptist here, his declaration that said, he must decrease, he must increase, and I must decrease. He just seems to shut out the possibility of all personal achievement here, you may think. Well, no, that's not it. What he's saying is that you will never be above God.
That's right.
No matter what you have, no matter what you do, you will never be above God. You should always make him more than you are. No matter where that leads you, many of us have been in positions that have done some great things with those positions or whatever, or someone has done more and at different positions, but no matter what that position is or that we've held or done, but God is higher.
Amen.
John was not setting an unrealistic standard here, because no matter his success, he gave it to God.
Amen.
He didn't sit back and say that I'm this and I'm that. He'd say, he is this. He is that. You see, he didn't want any credit. He's saying that he's no greater than God, that he's not greater than God, that his God is almighty.
Yes.
That he didn't forget that. You see, he was able to baptize Jesus, but he felt like that was his mission. Felt like that was one of the things that he can do, but he still did not put himself higher than that. He's saying here that he remained faithful to what his duties were as a believer. You see, God does not expect his followers to avoid success. Success is something that he does not want us to fail at in our job or in life. He doesn't want us to do bad. He wants us to succeed. Well, what does that mean, Sammy? You keep saying succeed. Success, what does that mean? Well, the problem is that some people just define it differently. Some will say the job success opens it up to hearing that Christ, or they build up credibility. Some may claim that they do not want to be successful, but both can still have good intentions. We'll step back and look at this now. It's not saying that you're saying you don't want to be successful, because success is a complex emotional issue. You see, if we feel that we've been successful, guess what? We've been successful. It doesn't matter what that success is. You know, people during the days of John the Baptist, or even hearing Jesus preach, they were not less interested in prospering. They still wanted to do good for themselves. You have not had anybody to wake up and say, I don't want to do good today. It probably runs through their mind, what can they do? How can they use the amount of money that they've gotten, or how can they use the teachings that they have to bless someone else, or to help someone else? Or what can I do for my family this time? You know, we all have a dream. No, I'm not Martin Luther King up here. But we all have a dream. We all, when we're growing up, we all have this idea of what we want to do. And even as we've gotten grown or even more age on us, we still look to see, what can I do? What is still my purpose? There is something else out there for me. We stay busy doing something. We say, what is my purpose? What is going to make me successful? How can I gauge success today? You see, we can go after any dream we have. There is nothing that says that we can't do what you want to do. There's many people out there today that's going through schooling and stuff. My friend Brad that just passed away said he wanted to be a forensic scientist. We didn't ever think when he was working at Wallace Police Department that this boy was going to be no forensic scientist. It just wasn't going to happen. Well, lo and behold, he went back, got his schooling and all that stuff, and ended up being a professor out at Fayetteville Tech, I want to say it was, and had worked as a dean up at James Front, one of the evening classes and stuff. I mean, he had really done well for himself, got his doctorate degree, and just done really good. Now, I say that to tell you that most other people were kind of doubting him about it, or might have been even making fun of him or whatever. You know, Brad was this hillbilly type of guy that loved to play the guitar, that would sit up there even while he was dispatching. He was a certified police officer, too, but while he was doing that, he'd sit up there and he'd play the guitar, and everybody loved Brad. Now, I mean, there ain't nobody that come in that didn't like Brad. He was just one of those likable type guys. But later, I seen what he measured success, or how he measured his success. It wasn't all that schooling he had. It wasn't all that guitar playing that he could pick about anything that had a string on, so it didn't have to be a guitar, but he just always had one with him. He measured success by the love that he had for God.
Amen.
You see, even though he was struck down by a thing called cancer that we all hate or dislike, he'd still remain faithful. He just would talk you up and down about how God was still faithful in his life and still doing great things. He got a little depressed near the end, but he never forgot. He never forgot. You see, success is defined in different terms. Your success may not be my success. Your success may not be someone else's success. But our success in Christ is what is important at the end of the day. You may say, well, I didn't have this best job, or I never could get this job, or I didn't get this, that, and the other, and I didn't ever do this in my life, and, you know, I lived paycheck to paycheck, and that is not successful. Let me tell you, at least you had a paycheck. Have you been remaining faithful in Christ? Have you been remaining faithful in what he can do for you? And those things, was that the guiding light? The Carr family, out of all they've gone through, still praising God. Some of you that's never been through a house fire would not even know what that means. I had the luxury of being through that, going from my 8th grade year to my 9th grade year. I was at the beach and I got this call that my house was burning down. Or they said it was burning down, and I laughed at him. I told him, because he normally jokes around with me, so I didn't know how to take him. If any of you know Thomas Smith, you know what I'm talking about. But it did. I called up to the police department in Wallace, and Glenn Jackson was working. I'll never forget it. I said, Glenn, I heard my house burnt down. He said, that's right. He said, but everybody's okay. And it was all right. We got rebuilt. We got back in there, and my sister was attempting to cook French fries. Needless to say, they were a little burnt. Sorry. She had put on the French fries and ran to the neighbor's house. Of course, my mom and dad were working, you know. We all had to work. We all worked. As when I was mowing grass, I mowed grass from the time I was about 11 or 12 years old. I can't remember, but I'd pull, have my little lawnmower, I'd pull through, and I had my little trailer, and Mr. Lee Sykes always saw me pulling that trailer behind me. If any of you know Mr. Lee Sykes, Miss Gladys's husband has passed now. Anyway, pulling that thing, he made me a trailer that I could put my lawnmower on, because I went down and mowed Pete and Linda D's, and I had him even mowed Tommy Davis's yard a little bit. And I go down to a lady's house on Miss somebody on 2nd Street. I can't remember, but anyway, 1st, 2nd Street. But anyway, I would ride right along with Mom and Daddy Sears Craftsman. I was tearing that thing up, because if I hit a root, I just kept on going, doing even faster. Daddy says, I spent more money in lawnmowers than you made it working. But I had fun doing it now, but it kept me busy, and I considered myself successful. Mom and Daddy, I'm proud to say, during high school, didn't hardly have to pay for nothing of mine. I mean, I'm talking about lunch money right on. I made money. I thought I was successful. But I later found out that success ain't that. Success is what you have in God. Success is what you have built up your life to live in Christ. Success is prayer with your family. Success is prayer for your family. John the Baptist illustrated three principles about success. It matters who defines success. You see, it doesn't matter that your friends or so say that you're not successful, because that's not who matters. Not to be ugly, but I got the mentality, I don't care what you say, because you don't define me. God does. You see, we're defined by so many ways in society. We're often judged and put into categories. You make this much money, you're here. You make that much money, you're there. You work this kind of job, you're here. You work that kind of job, you're there. That ain't how it works. We're all God's people. We're all in one family. We ain't set aside for nothing. We're set aside because we're believers. We're set aside because we believe in the good word. We believe in the truth of the Bible. God said that what matters is faith in Jesus Christ. He is the measurement of our success. You see, today if you find yourself and you say you're not successful, then you must be talking about getting right with God. I feel that if you don't have Jesus, no matter what your success level you are, you will fail. Because guess what? You will have eternal damnation. Say, Sammy, I can't believe you're saying that stuff, because I want to tell you the truth. The problem with pastors today is that they just want to speak the good stuff. But I'm telling you, if you don't love Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not accepted Him into your heart, you're going in the fiery pits of hell. You say, well, I don't know about that, Sammy. Read it. Don't take my word for it. Read it. The truth is written right here. The divine words are in this Bible. Why and how we pursue success is as important as whether we achieve it. You see, we have to want it. We cannot sit around on the couch and expect things to happen. We cannot sit around in our lazy boy chair and expect someone to bring it to us. You know those kind of people that sit there and say, bring me a glass of tea. When you need to get your lazy tail up, get it yourself. She looked over at you, Junior. I didn't say nothing. You cannot look at something and twitch your nose and nod your head and expect it to appear. It takes work. We all have to work at it to get what we get. We have to work at it, our knowledge of the Bible. You see, In this world, I have learned so many things, and don't think that I know it all, because I am so far, and some of you are way more than me. But you know what? I'm working at it, and I hope you are too. We don't know everything. If you think you know everything, you're in the right place, because we need to pray for you. If you pursue something with ambition, you will succeed. Why not succeed with the glory of God?
Amen.
You see, if we wanted to read that book, we'd read that book 3 or 4 times, and some of you still hadn't read the Bible all the way through. That's what a professor told me this week. I remembered it. I liked that one. I've read all through this Bible in all different books and read different things, but I have never gone from cover to cover and read everything in here. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, I often wondered, and I prayed about it this week. I said, have I been picking and choosing what I wanted to read? You wonder about that, because when you read different lessons, you might read something and skip a whole different group of verses that could have meant the whole thing to you understanding it. You see, because the Bible doesn't take and make another verse wrong, the Bible takes and understand, helps you understand what else is going on. Amen?
Amen?
You see, the Bible is written. The Bible is the truth. We must understand that truth. In order to do that, or when you do that, it will help you to succeed. You see, you might say, well, I want to do this in the church, or I want to do this as part of my ministry. And you reach people, or you do what you set out to do, and you've done a good, you go see people, you've seen several people, and then all of a sudden you quit, and you tell me that you hadn't been successful, because that's why you don't want to do it. You feel like you can't do that anymore, and you're not successful. Then we go back and we look at the ones that you visited. You've changed somebody's life. You've led them to Christ. You've got them into a church somewhere. You said, oh, I didn't see them in church. Well, no, they don't always go to your church. Let's just pray to get into a church, a Bible-believing church. You see, I think we all got somebody we know that we'd like to have come to church, or that we know need to be somewhere in church. We've all got those people. We all got those friends and relatives that we need to really work on. That could be our success. John preached to ordinary people that were trying to get ahead. That's just what we are. We want to learn more about him. We want to learn more and do for him. I don't think you leave here every week not to do anything with the lesson or not to do good in Christ. I don't think you leave here and do that, but some of us leave here and never do anything else all week long. There's several ways that we can help you get on that track. You got different devotionals that you can look at every, and on our smartphones or phones now, we have different things that, and some of them even read to us. Dana likes them because she can fall asleep to them. I mean, she does, but. See, John challenged those people, the ordinary people like you and I. He challenged them to pursue concrete acts of charity, honesty, and justice in every part of their life. And that was in Luke chapter 3 that he's doing that. You see, third thing is success always carries a cost. John's warning of God's judgment comes with a frightening image. We're going to be judged for our actions, is what he said. See, we can go through life and not want to have God to be a part of it. Then at the end, you realize you messed up. Now you want him to be a part of it. Think how much better it would have been if you'd have started now. We must repent and put those actions in our past. We cannot go on and live in our past. The cars aren't, and they lost everything. But you know what? They didn't take away that love they had for Jesus Christ in their heart.
That's right.
The Joy Carr family would be a testimonial piece right now. I got a friend I'm trying to get here. He's at a church, and I want him to come and tell y'all about where he's been. And last year he was in prison, and now he's preaching the word. I want him to tell you. Because, you know, we think sometimes when we've been down in the dumps that that's just where we're going to be. Oh, just kick them, spit on them, throw dirt bottles at them and all. I mean, the bottles at them and everything, because they'll never come out of that. I want to show you that it can happen.
Amen.
God gives us a choice whether to simply imitate those around us or live according to His Word. You see, we can act like those other people. We can do like those other people. Or we can live according to His Word. We do have a choice. John the Baptist was able to carry out his ministry due to his intensity of following the God-given assignments that he knew that God had given him an assignment to do. He understood that Jesus' ministry would grow and expand, and all glory belonged to Him, not John. John's cost of obedience landed him in prison, and later he was executed because of that. And no matter what, he still gained a treasure out of that. He had the price. He had the praise of Christ echoing throughout all of eternity. But now he's with Jesus. He did all that, and he was able to gain eternity. Well, I ask you today, church, just the same way as you can become worldly successful, we are nothing without Him. But yet we can be so successful with Him. And we need to ask these three questions. Who sets my standards that I use to measure success? What are my motives and behavior in pursuing success? And what price am I willing to pay to achieve success? Is Jesus part of your plan for success? Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity today to learn about success, and as we all see that we measure it so wrong. Our success today needs to be measured in how much we love you, how much we do for you, how much we are living like you. But yet, we get caught up in the world. We get caught up in the things that drag us down. But we have so many things to be thankful for. The things you give us, the things you allow us to do, the people you allow us to see. Our success is measured in you. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity today. Lord, we just thank you as we open up this service and go into our Lord's Supper here, that we realize that you died and gave your shed your blood on Calvary for all of us. You didn't do it just for one. So our success is measured in you. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord. In Jesus' name.